Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to the ICS Live Facebook stream. I just want to give you a heads up that it's Communion Sunday, so we will be celebrating Communion and doing a virtual Communion service after the preaching of the Word this morning. So that's just a heads up for you to prepare the wine, juice and bread, which is ever appropriate for you and your family. So God bless you. Today we have a very special guest. We have Pastor Tim Bentley sharing the message this morning, and it's about the danger of distractions, reading from the book of Ezra. So God bless you as you follow along, and God bless you, Pastor Tim, for ministering to us this morning.
Ezra chapter 8, verses 15 through 36 says this: I gathered them to the river that runs to Ahava, and there we camped 3 days. As I reviewed the people and the priests, I found there none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Yarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam, leading men, and for Joarib and Elnathan, who were men of insight, and sent them to Iddo, the leading man, at the place Sesiphia, telling them what to say to Iddo and his brothers, and the temple servants at the place Asiphia, namely, to send us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God on us, they brought us a man of discretion, of the sons of Mahli, the sons of Levi, son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with his sons and kinsmen, also Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, of the sons of Merari, with his kinsmen and their sons, besides 220 of the temple servants whom David and his officials had set apart to attend the Levites. These were all mentioned by name. Verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there, at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. Verse 24. Then I set apart 12 of the leading priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their kinsmen with them, and I weighed out to them the silver and the gold and the vessels, the offering for the house of our God that the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I weighed out into their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels worth 200 talents, and 100 talents of gold, 20 bowls of gold worth 1,000 derricks, and 2 vessels of fine bright bronze as precious as gold. And I said to them, you are holy to the Lord, and the vessels are holy, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord, the God of your fathers. Guard them and keep them until you weigh them before the chief priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel at Jerusalem, within the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priests and Levites took over the weight of the silver and gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of God. Verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from the ambushes by the way. We came to Jerusalem, and there we remained 3 days. On the 4th day, within the house of our God, the silver and the gold and the vessels were weighed into the hands of Meremoth, the priest, son of Uriah, and with him Eleazar, son of Phinehas, and with them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Yeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui. The whole was counted and weighed, and the weight of everything was recorded. Verse 35. At that time, those who had come from captivity, the returned exiles, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. In the last verse, verse 36, they also delivered the king's commissions to the king's satraps and to the governors of the province beyond the river, and they aided the people in the house of God. Like you and I, Ezra was a human being with a mind, a heart, and a will that was made to glorify God. Ezra was devoted to the task God placed in front of him. He was committed to reestablishing reverence for God's law among the Jewish people. His purpose was clear. He did not allow distractions to deter him from achieving his destiny. 9 days into their journey, the Jewish people arrived at the Hava River. Realizing they were about to enter a dangerous area that was notorious for bandits on the road, that they had many valuables in their possessions and no guards to protect them, Ezra made the decision to stay where they were. Ezra faced a dilemma. He could either send men back to the place where they were held captive, hoping the king would provide military protection, or he could trust God and move forward. There, at the river Ahava, Ezra put his full confidence in God and proclaimed a 3-day fast, asking for the Lord's protection and direction. He put priests and kingsmen in charge of protecting their valuables, and then they continued their journey. Moving from the river, a place of preparation, to their homeland, a place of promise, Ezra and the children of Israel were faced with a few distractions. Ambushes. A choice needed to be made. The Jewish people could flee and go back to their place of captivity, or they could place their faith in God, trust in His protection, and continue moving forward towards the place of promise. My friends, I need you to hear this morning. If the enemy can't destroy you, he will distract you. He will use anything he can, past hurts, close friends, colleagues, social media, finances, popularity, you name it, he will use it. Satan doesn't want you to grow in your faith. He wants to keep you complacent and distraction. Distractions are designed to get you off course. The enemy will try to keep you so preoccupied with your problems that you'll fail to proclaim the promises of God. Satan knows that if the people of God remain distracted, we will become stagnant and ineffective in our faith. Hear this morning. You are created with a unique purpose. The enemy knows this reality and doesn't want you to live it out. Satan wants you to return to a place of spiritual captivity. He knows that he's powerless against the power and proclamation of the gospel, and he will do everything in his power to keep you comfortable and distracted. He wants you to believe that you do not need God and that there's no solution for your problems. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a solution, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is the name that is above all names. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is our light in the darkness. He is the chain breaker, the miracle worker. He always keeps his promises. And he is the one who is coming back for his spotless bride. No matter what distraction the enemy uses against you or your family, your devotion to Christ will see you through. Hold firmly to the promises of God, for he who promised is faithful. Therefore, friends, you have no reason to return to captivity. Captivity was never meant as a dwelling place for the child of God. Let me say that again. You need to hear it this morning. Captivity was never meant as a dwelling place for the child of God. God frees us from captivity, moves us through a season of preparation and into a place of promise. Along the way, like Ezra and the children of Israel, we will have a choice to make. Either we'll go back to captivity, or we'll move forward in the promise of God. During a vulnerable time in his life, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, put it like this. Indeed, we felt we were under the sentence of death, in order that we would not trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. In him, we have placed our hope that he will yet again deliver us. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, after being tempted in the wilderness, standing in the synagogue as was his practice on the Sabbath, Jesus unrolled a scroll and, reading from the prophet Isaiah, said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." We don't have to go back to a place of captivity. We can rely on the promises of God. However, we will never be able to rely on God's promises if we never open our Bibles to find out what they are. God's Word equips us for life and eternity. The more we study Scripture and adhere to the biblical practices, the deeper our devotion to Christ becomes. Ezra modeled this well. Even from a young age, he devoted himself to studying the Scriptures, observing God's laws, applying what he learned to his life, and he shared his faith with others. For followers of Christ, adherence to biblical principles and practices like Bible study, prayer, fasting, and worship are our spiritual lifelines. They help guide our faith's journey and act as boundary markers along life's treacherous road. Ezra knew the hand of God was upon his life, so he had courage. His purpose was clear. He refused to allow distractions to deter him from achieving his God-appointed destiny. In the midst of distraction, Ezra remain devoted. When you are devoted to something, you are committed. You refuse to allow anything to get in the way of that which you are devoted to. You orient your activities towards what you are striving for. You show commitment, dedication, and loyalty. How can we as believers not allow distraction to deter us from reaching our God-appointed destiny? Like Ezra, we must devote ourselves to the study of Scripture and the adherence of biblical practices such as prayer, fasting, and worship. If we want a deep faith, it's imperative that we don't allow the distractions of life to replace our devotion to God. I want to close this message by leaving you with these questions. Am I as devoted to God as I should be? Does my devotion to God outweigh my devotion to the distractions of life? Am I devoting more time to my relationship with God than I am to the distractions around me? If the answer to any of these questions is no, then something needs to change. There's no better time than the present to search your heart and ask God to help you make the changes you need to make. As you remove distraction from your life and devote yourself to communing with God, you will mature in your faith and grow closer to Him. Amen. Please take the next few minutes to prepare your hearts as Pastor Martin comes and leads us in Holy Communion.
Thank you so much, Pastor Tim, for that timely word. There's so much work involved in doing a sermon virtual like this. It's very difficult to preach to a camera. There's the audio recording, the video syncing. There's so much that goes on in front of the camera and behind the camera. So I would like to thank you once again, Pastor Tim, for your wonderful, encouraging message this morning. I pray the blessing over you and your family in Jesus' name. As Pastor Tim said, it is Communion Sunday, so I would like to read the scripture from Matthew 26, where Jesus, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He says, "Take it and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Before we partake in the bread and the wine, I just want to remind us what the Apostle Paul says, that we must examine ourselves, that we don't take the emblems in an unworthy manner. What does he mean by that? That we don't make this a ritual. This bread represents Jesus Christ's body given up on the cross. And this cup of this wine represents his blood, the new covenant that was poured out for us. So, Lord, we come before you reverent. We invite you by your Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins, that we may repent. Us that know you as our Lord and Savior, we're not repenting to salvation. We're repenting in the restoration of our relationship to you. So invite your Holy Spirit to come and search our hearts. We'll take a quiet moment of reflection and contemplation before we partake of the emblems. We partake of the bread in remembrance of your body that was nailed to the cruel cross of Calvary. And the wine, which represents your blood that was poured out for the remission of sins. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. You did what no man could do. You were the sinless sacrifice for the world. So thank you so much. Please let us pray. Almighty God, Abba Father, Daddy, Lord, we do acknowledge there is so many demands upon our time and upon our attention, so many diversions and so many distractions. Lord, we repent when we forget about you and when we don't put you first in our lives. Help us, O Lord, when we yield to the diversions and distractions. We want to acknowledge this morning that we love you, that we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we acknowledge that without you, God, that we can do nothing of eternal value. This world that we live in is tangible. It looks so permanent. But Lord, your word tells us it is temporary, that it's going to be rolled up like a scroll, and you're going to make everything new. The spiritual looks so temporary, but it is permanent. Open the eyes of our spiritual heart that we may see and comprehend your kingdom. Help us to invest our time and energy that pertain to your kingdom and not our own or the kingdom of this world. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. or in our own strength. We acknowledge that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and he has mercy over all that he has made. All your works shall give you thanks, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. We shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make it known to the children of man of your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, because your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all of his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and rises up all who are bowed down, because you give grace to the humble, but you oppose the proud. We confess, Lord, that pride is the downfall of angels, and it's the downfall of mankind, and it's in every one of us. So we choose to humble ourselves before you. We bend the knee and we acknowledge your majesty. We acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge your mercy. We acknowledge that man can tame any animal, but it's only you, O Lord, that can humble the proud human heart. You warn us, O Lord, that pride goes before destruction. If we choose not to humble ourselves, you will humble us, O God, because you love us so much as a father disciplines the children. You discipline us, O Lord, because of your unfailing love. Let us clothe ourselves with humility. O Lord, first and foremost unto you, and then to each other, because we acknowledge we need your grace and we don't want you to humble us, so we choose to humble ourselves before you. Have mercy upon your church, your bride. Have mercy upon your children. Therefore, we do choose to humble ourselves today under the mighty, loving hand of God, that in due time you may lift us up as we cast all our cares upon you, because you care for us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we do have one that has been tempted in every way, just Lord, but yet you was without sin. So we can approach the throne of grace with full confidence and boldness, knowing that you, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And we can rejoice, O God, that mercy has triumphed over judgment. And the church said, amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful, that mercy has triumphed over judgment in Jesus Christ? Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, as on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Thank you once again, Pastor Tim, for your encouraging message this morning, warning us about the danger of distractions. I'd like to close this service with a benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Please join us for the Zoom meeting afterwards, where we can have some fellowship and where we can pray with each other if needed. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us this week, and have a wonderful week as we encourage each other as long as it is called today. Amen and goodbye, and God bless.